Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Makula. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and in ministry as they share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. This month, we welcome back Commissioner Heidi Bailey to the podcast. It's been a year since she's been on, and today we reflect on her first year back in the Central Territory, and we've taken a few questions from our social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram to get to know Heidi, her heart, and her vision for our territory better. Also, she'll be speaking on Sunday morning at the Arise and Shine Women's Conference, and we welcomed the other special guests, so of course we had to include her. Enjoy this month's episode with Commissioner Heidi. Hi, Commissioner Heidi. Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast.
Hey, Sarah. It's great to be back. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, so it's been about a year, I think, since you were last on the show. Is that right?
It has been. And what I love about podcasts is that you don't have to put your lipstick on.
That's right. Thank goodness. Oh, man. Well, last year we had you on. It was like a welcome. You know, welcome back to the Central Territory. That was, where have you been? What are you looking forward to? Mm-hmm. And now it's been a year. And what we did, when we were talking about this episode, decided that, well, you really gave me the freedom to go ahead and make a choice. And I decided I wanted to kind of crowdsource some questions mm-hmm. from the field through social media. So I made a post on our Arise and Shine Women's Conference Facebook event page with your photo and just said, ask Commissioner Heidi. This is your moment. And when you've got a question for it, although we cannot get to every question because between Facebook and Instagram and some private messages I received, we probably received about 20 questions.
Okay.
And so we do not have time for 20, but kind of looking at all the variety of themes in the questions, we tried to address all those themes of a few fun ones, ones about officership, ones about soldiers, and even what you've been up to lately. So we've got our questions,
yeah.
And I'm just going to jump in. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, first one. Number one, you and Brad have been in the Central Territory, back in the Central Territory for a year now. Mm-hmm. How has your first year been?
Oh, wow. It's been an awesome year. It's really kind of fun just to answer this question because it gives me a chance to reflect back. And we have, the highlights would really just be having the opportunity to visit every division in some way, and to go to camps, to go to youth events, to women's events, to territorial events, multicultural conference, social services conference. I'm just thinking back on some of the places we've been. And that's because it's really given us the chance to get to know again the Central Territory soldiers and local officers as well, our officers as well, which we're especially trying to get to know the younger officers, which have come on board since we've been gone. And then just to see a little bit about the communities where they serve. So it's been a great year. We've tried to carry one message through everywhere we go and just preaching and encouraging Salvation Army mission and kingdom living. And you really can't go wrong with that, no matter what your what city you live in, what your appointment is, what your job is. It's about mission living. And it's been really fun to see the creative ways that that's happening.
Has anything surprised you when you're out on the field? Like, or did it basically meet your expectations of what you thought you'd experience?
I think we've been surprised and pleased to see some of the creative, diverse ways of ministering, the diversity in our communities that vary so much from city to city, from state to state. I mean, we all bleed the same red, but we live in different worlds. And so it's really great to see how Salvation Army mission and kingdom living is adaptable to any place that we are. And that's what we're seeing happen. And the other thing that we've just kind of come off a high of, well, of course, we went to the High Council in London. So that was really a spiritually significant experience for Brad and I. And then just more recently with our territory is our first commissioning. And that was really fun. So we got to use the theme Welcome Home, and we've been really pleased to see how the field has integrated that following commissioning in so many different ways in their own local communities. They're inviting people to their tables, and they understand that Jesus is the head of the table and that there's always room for one more. So we're really, really happy to see just the enthusiasm and all to be a part of kind of the same thing. And then just one other thing, you would remember the 2020 vision of opening or building 20 new cores several years ago that was promoted here in the territory under Commissioner Seiler. And we've been able to dedicate one of those buildings in Moldova, so travel there. And then we have another couple of trips coming up where we'll be dedicating more cores that the Central Territory built in India Southeast and in Kenya West. So it's really great to be able to see the fruits of the labors of our soldiers here who gave sacrificially and to see the joy that has been translated across the seas. So thank you, Central Territory.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's really cool. All right, ready for number two?
Yeah.
Okay. What have you been focusing on lately?
Oh, how about Arise and Shine?
Ooh, that sounds exciting. Tell us more.
I know. We're all about Arise and Shine right now on our floor in the women's department. October 12 to 14, gals, you still have some time to sign up, but it's filling up. We have over 1,500 registered right now, which we're really excited about. And I think you have till October 1st to get registered. So invite your friends and get on board. Everything that we are thinking about and planning for and praying about has to do with equipping and empowering and encouraging you, our beautiful women. So come hungry, come thirsty, and I don't believe that you will be disappointed. We have great speakers for our workshops, for our plenary sessions. We have a dinner concert. We have fun and fellowship. And this is our weekend, so let's do what we can to kind of carve out that space, and you have to guard it. You have to guard it sacredly because it can get taken up for other things very easily. So really look forward to seeing everybody there.
All right. We are so excited about Arise and Shine.
Yeah.
She's right. It is all a buzz all the time about Arise and Shine. Okay, number three. Did you celebrate... This is one of our fun ones. Did you celebrate National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, July 15th? And what is your favorite flavor?
I had to think back to what I did on Sunday, July 15th. Well, I have to confess that I did manage to not support that International Day exactly on July 15th. Might have been due to my unawareness of that particular celebration. However, I would say that I have been very supportive of the ice cream industry on many other days. And hands down, my favorite ice cream is salted caramel.
Mm.
Yeah.
From any particular brand or any location?
I would just have to continue to try them all.
Mm. You do not discriminate.
No.
Okay, so another fun one. Rank the seasons in order of favorite to least favorite and why.
Oh, that's kind of hard because I really love life and I try to live the moment. So like it's like whatever core we're in, whatever division we're in, whatever season you're in, you just want to live it to the fullest. But I will answer the question. For me, fall is my very favorite. In spite of the fact that everything is dying, call me weird. I love the fall just basically because it's invigorating. It's got beautiful, crisp air. It's good for drinking coffee outside. It's good for fire pit gatherings. It's good for walks and getting together with people for long talks. Now I'm referring to where I'm living right now. You know, I'm taking Chicago into account as I answer this. So
yeah.
Fall is my absolute
favorite.
Yeah. I put spring second because I do love new life coming after the dead has been pruned away. And I even love a good rainstorm. I'm from Kansas, and we had some pretty terrific rainstorms there, thunderstorms. And so for my upbringing, I do love the spring as well. Now, I put winter third, which of course only leaves summer for last, which is really strange. But I think winter gets a bad rap sometimes. You know, we get freaked out by the cold and the snow and all of that.
But I love the foods that we prepare and eat in winter. I love fireplaces. Sometimes I love watching from the inside the winter on the outside. And but I think it promotes a lot of community around the table, winter does, because we might be hibernate a little bit more. And if we're not real active in winter sports or something like that, but it's really a good reason to get together around the table and, and share some coffee or hot chocolate. So I put winter third, and then poor summer.
And well, in winter, you're kind of just trapped together too.
Yeah, you are. It's like, that's exactly true. But I summer just has to be last because that's all that's left. And it's not that I don't like summer. Believe me, I'm not real good with extreme heat. So that might have influenced a little bit. But and staying out of the sun is a little bit more of a challenge. And as you get older, you stay out of the sun instead of trying to get in it. But I love summer as well. And in Chicago, especially, there's no complaining in the summer. Everybody's glad to see it come.
Chicago in the summer is the best. Okay, so now we're going to venture into an irregular format of the Prepare podcast. It would be that if you knew me, you would know, like, on the third level. So these are a little bit deeper, a little more serious questions. So this one, this first one from the more serious questions, what is the hardest lesson the Lord has taught you throughout your officership?
Wow. I think looking at that broadly first, in terms of anyone on their spiritual faith journey, not just officers, I think understanding that God's got your back and that He wants the best for you and that there is reward in obedience is probably the hardest lesson to keep remembering as you progress in your journey. When I say reward in obedience, I don't mean about things. I mean His favor over your life and knowing that blessing as you move forward in that. That we don't have to be afraid to trust Him with our lives, with our family, with our children, with our friends. It's a continual hard lesson to get, really, because we have other people's ideas speaking into us as well. Our family, friends, the culture, society, the news, press, all those things are speaking into us. And those are life options as well. So when we choose Christ, just remembering that He's got this and that He wants what's best for Him and that we don't need to be afraid to trust Him. As an officer, like, I love that we are an army and that we are mobile. We're not bound by places or things. We are adaptable and we salute and march on to the next place. And that's what makes us different. That's what makes us an army. So embracing that, because that's what I signed up for, embracing that for me has not necessarily been the hard part, but the result of those Salvation Army officership characteristics can result in some specific consequences / challenges that I have found at certain times in my life or a certain season in my life are a little more difficult to manage than others. For me, I would basically be talking about, like, geographical distance from family is probably the most difficult. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, if there's an earthquake, you're not going to grab, you know, your wedding album first. You're going to grab your kid, right? It's about your family. So that geographical distance can be difficult. And then as officers, learning to release what you've left behind and in order to make room for what lies ahead. We do that a lot, but it doesn't really make it any easier because if you've gone in and loved your people like God has asked you to, it's always going to hurt to leave. So that's kind of been a tough lesson to learn or to adjust to. And then I think just kind of being battle ready as a leader in any context where the Lord and the Army might send you. Most of those places, in my case, have been out of my own cultural context. And so as a leader, having to remember to be the one that must adapt to the new situation and the new place and the new people, their habits, their ways, their traditions, their customs, and to remember that it's not up to the people to adjust to me. So leaders need to take the high road in so many areas, on so many levels in officership. And that one in particular is one that, and as you get older and you've had a lot of changes, it could be easy to forget that and kind of expect others to adjust to you as the leader. But yeah.
Well, I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty significant. Okay, moving on to the next one. How is the Central Territory moving to view and give soldiers equal voices and place in our movement?
That is an excellent question. Thank you for whoever asked that. I think that's great. And I'm assuming it might have come from a soldier, but it could also be a concerned officer as well. But whatever, officers are soldiers as well. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, this person has really identified an area that is of great concern and significance to the territorial leadership right now. It's also one that we hope that soldiers can help us answer. So this question kind of throws it out there, and so we hope people will be thinking about that. I was thinking with that question that as a Salvation Army officer, I, like many others, really look back on our lives and we majorly say thank you to many soldiers and local officers who took the time to speak into our lives, who prayed over us, who picked us up in the van, who taught our Corps cadet class. These were amazing soldiers and leaders who we were blessed to cross paths with when we were growing up. Then we as soldiers did that for other people and spoke into other people's lives. And so really, it's all about the soldiers in that sense. And I just wanted to take that moment to thank our soldiers and our local officers. I think I mentioned at commissioning in a given moment, and this is totally true. When people talk about the local officers and soldiers of the Central Territory, they always say they're the best in the country. And I didn't say that or make that up because, you know, I'm from here. But that's like a legend that they are leaving behind because of how they love people and want to speak into their lives. So first of all, thank you for that. I think that is because and so effective for us as officers who have received from them that soldiers represent stability. They represent a good historical core context that your leaders don't always know. Mm-hmm. And that they're in the world, in their working world. Mm-hmm. So they get that and they get traffic and schedules and they get what's relevant. They get, you know, commitment and how much they can actually carve out of their very busy lives. Sometimes people who are full-time leaders don't get that. And so this is super important. They have the opportunity to have very gift-based leadership in their corps, which is great. Sometimes an officer has to be kind of a jack of all trades, but soldiers should really be allowed to speak into their gifts in order to have leadership moments. And we really value those things from our soldiers, and so we want to hear more from that group. And if I were to ask myself, well, how are we going to hear more from them? There are certain groups or conferences that at the present time are only available to officers. And what we would like to look at and kind of brainstorm and consider are making some of those same groups available to soldiers. For instance, a Bringle Institute for soldiers, Territorial Soldiers Institute, Territorial Soldiers Forum, territorial local officer positions that would represent soldiers on the field. Make sure we can have a broader base of soldier participation in corps councils and in pastoral care council. Those things happen. Well, that last thing happens to a certain degree. Those first conferences and groups I mentioned have only been historically available to officers. So we're really looking at that to see how we can broaden that. And then actually hearing from soldiers about what is important to them. How can we do some brainstorming with leadership and especially our young adults to be able to hear their heart, to hear the relevant topics that are really concerning our soldiers in the Salvation Army today, the things that concern them, that scare them, that sadden them. I mean, this is our future and it's extremely important. So, you know, some way that we could develop a way to be able to have community together to discuss these things. And that's really important to Commissioner Brad and I know, and to the cabinet as well. I don't know whether social media in some official way would be a way to do that. That's always kind of a mixed bag. It would need to be something that we understand has a very Christ-like, respectful base to it. And if we consider others as more important than ourselves when we are asking or posting or brainstorming or sharing ideas, you know, I think we could, you know, it could move forward in some way. You can still share the same issues, but it kind of takes the toxicity out of it, if you will, when we, you know, respect each other. Mm-hmm. So I guess that question might end with a question back to the field is, how do you as soldiers feel that you could have a greater voice in the Salvation Army? It's a voice that we cannot miss. Mm-hmm. It's a voice that if it has been not listened to or not considered in the past, you know, organizationally, we certainly would apologize for that and say that is not our intent. So our hearts and minds are open, and we would love to hear kind of from the soldiers their idea about that as well.
I was listening to another podcast called Emotionally Healthy Leadership, and one of the episodes was about seasons of leadership, and they were reflecting on the seasons a congregation goes through. Mm-hmm. And it made me a little sad because a lot of our officers don't get to see a corps through a lot of the seasons. Mm-hmm. They get a few of the seasons. But the soldiers at those corps go through all of the different seasons, whatever that might mean. Mm-hmm. And so while you were talking about the local officership and soldiers at the Corps, I was thinking about that and how they've seen their congregations or corps through so many seasons and the value that carries. Officers can learn about the history of that congregation mm-hmm. from those soldiers.
Exactly. It's not always easy to be a soldier with all of the transitions that the Army has to make sometimes. And I was just thinking when you said that, probably more of our corps have seen our officers go through their seasons of life than reverse. And thus, you know, what I mentioned about the soldiers having great historical context
yeah.
for what's gone on in the Corps, and also to be challenged about what could go on,
mm-hmm.
you know, stretching us all and you know, moving on to mm-hmm. greater things so that we can keep a little more relevant and make ourselves attractable to other people. It's a combination.
Mm-hmm. And I think the value that can come from the officers coming in is the fresh eyes,
yeah.
the fresh perspective uh-huh. and the value that brings too. So there's a lot of value if, yeah. if we work in a harmonious uh-huh. way.
Yeah. Yeah, the perseverance of soldiers mm-hmm. is really a quality that builds them, that builds their character and who they are and deepens their passion because they're in the same place mm-hmm. and they're sticking it through and they're fighting it out and they're offering ideas. And, you know, we're reading the book, I Am a Church Member, and those six things that you kind of sign up and commit to do to being a church member. I mean, those are the same things even when your officers change. You're still committed to those same things. And so they're, you know, the soldiers are really praying through all of that and super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another question that comes to mind that I know a lot in the field, I've at least seen on Facebook, had some wonderings about is the, as of May, mm-hmm. when the moves came out, mm-hmm. all the additional appointments for all the Central Territory officers to be assistant candidate secretaries.
Right.
Can
right.
you tell us more about what's this all about?
Well, I would have probably invited my husband.
Sorry.
We basically, in coming into the territory, when we began to look at some areas that we just really wanted to take a look at, the history, what has happened in the past, where are we right now and where do we want to go, obviously recruiting, and candidates, cadets, and feeding new officers into our territory became one of the most important things. And so in that context, we began to just kind of look at it. And I think we found ourselves saying at different officers' councils or youth events or whatever, actually, we're all recruit sergeants. We're all candidate secretaries. And we would kind of teasingly say, your candidate secretary, your divisional candidate secretary is not alone, because she or he has all of us. And it kind of began like that. And then from there, it kind of evolved. Well, we know that in the officer's case, when they have their
brief of appointment, wherever they go, the first paragraph makes reference to that, that the priority of your officership, regardless of your appointment, will be to live a life that exemplifies and is attractive to others who might want to follow the Lord in officership and event. And in other words, be on guard for recruiting.
Yeah, that's, and lead by example.
Lead by example. Mm-hmm. Be somebody that somebody else wants to be like. Mm-hmm. So we know that that was there. It can get looked over pretty easily. And so then from there, it just kind of took off. And, so Brad would say, well, I mean, we're all candidate secretary. Well, no, we can't be candidate secretary. We already have those. But we can all be assistant candidate secretary. And so it kind of started out symbolic, just as a reminder that this is what we're about, not because officership is a higher or better calling, but because if we do not have officers, we do not have a Salvation Army to lead, anyone to lead. And that, thus it's something that we must address. So that's kind of how it got going. And then it became actually a little bit bigger than symbolic. Mm-hmm. And so actually on that day when Moves came out, every officer got a phone call from his DC or her DC. And I think they were thinking it was going to be something else. And so for many, they were relieved. And it's taken a little bit to understand exactly what that means. But, it's caused a lot of good conversation. The other day we were somewhere Brad said, okay, everybody who is an assistant candidate secretary, please stand. Mm-hmm. And we were at a pilgrimage and we were talking about their candidates. And then all the officers stood up in the room and it was like, yeah, we're all in this together. And we're all going to support you. And so I think that's how it really happened. And it's caused a little wave. And we'll go to different places like nationally or internationally. And they say, oh, yeah, we heard about that. How's that going? And we're like, well, great. Yeah, great. It's
I think it was a really bold move.
It was.
And yeah. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And I think it was, since it was so vast, it was kind of a wake up of like, oh, this matters. Like this is a big
exactly.
deal.
Yeah.
And let's not even dance around it. Let's just say what it is and that we all need to get on board.
Yeah.
And honestly, it spoke to me personally because it brought to my attention that okay, our church, there's a lot of, I don't know how many baby boomer officers there are, but there's a lot and they're going to retire in less than 10 years.
Yep.
And what does that look like for the rest of us?
Yeah.
And what's our response? Mm-hmm. And it's not everyone's, not everyone is called and
right.
not everyone has, will make the decision, but it was a moment for me personally.
Yeah. Well, on the leadership end, we did a few studies about where we were at, and this is just an interesting detail that, most of us don't know because we didn't do the work, but after the studies were done, we need 44 new officers every year just to break even and to keep everything open and going that we have open right now.
Wow.
Because that is because of retirements and, resignations and, everything that happens that from one day to the next, someone's not an officer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're putting out about 20 a year from our training college. And so, that deficit just multiplies every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really the red flag that...
just do the math.
Do the math and, what you water grows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the main things that need to be watered so that we can have the growth that we need to be able to do mission and to do it effectively. That means with enough people to do it so that they're not exhausted and killing themselves. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to have an assistant at every corps so that you could share, some of your burdens. We don't have that luxury right now.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're doing the best we can. But it's everybody's privilege.
Yeah. Well, thank you for speaking into that. I look forward to hearing more about it in the future. To wrap up our time, here is your final question. If you had to pick an occupation other than officership, what would you have picked?
That's a good question because, I think like most people, I could probably be a number of things in life. I could have done a number of things. In my particular case, I went to training quite young. If I were to have chosen then another profession, I would have been pretty limited in my choices because I was so young and I didn't have, my dreams were pretty little. But one thing that I always reflect on is that in those days, the whole flying experience was very novel and exciting. And I thought, wow, I would love to be a flight attendant. We even called them stewardesses in those days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody said, why would you want to be that? And I'm like, I don't know. I loved the uniform. I loved meeting new people. And I love serving. And I thought, you know, that would be a great way, you know, see the world and do those things that I felt that I was gifted to do. And so I kind of reflect back on that. And you know, my testimony is that today I stand here in another uniform. And I've had a chance to meet a lot of people and to serve a lot of people. And I only say that because I believe, you know, whatever your gifts are, whatever God has in mind for you, the secret is when, you know, your desires become his desires. And in some kind of strange and silly way, that little 18-year-old, 17-year-old dream of mine came true, but in a different way, a way that I didn't imagine. So, you know, whoever's listening, who's ever out there, you know, that's the magic of God taking the ordinary and making it into something extraordinary, allowing your desires to be rooted in him, and all of a sudden they just like dovetail together, and you've discovered that what he wants for you is what you want for yourself. And, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what a great way to end this episode with you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to hearing from you on Sunday morning of Arise and Shine.
That's right.
And that theme of that meeting is glory.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What a time together
exactly.
We will have.
Look forward to seeing all of our beautiful women there.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you. We want to give a special thank you to all of the women that reached out with questions for Commissioner Heidi. There were over 20 questions, and we only had time to reflect on about half of those questions. So we really appreciate you and the time, energy, and courage you put into asking these questions. We shared all of the questions with her so she knows the concerns of your hearts. Thank you again for listening. There are still spots available to attend the Rise and Shine Women's Conference, so go to www.centralwomenarise.com to register. See you next month.